The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Me, and Advice Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy. Do, 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 do.
That's my is that the Piper?
He's back. And I know that, real quick, guys, we should have talked about this before we started recording. I know this is going to be our super chill sort of Max Fun Drive. I was going for 4 weeks, but I thought we could go, like, this first week, like, pretty fucking heavy on it.
It's
like,
me, the Piper.
Yeah, exactly that type of energy. I love
it. I am the Piper.
Yeah. And
the bill has come due, respectfully. Okay.
It's unbelievable to me that you would not know this at this point, but we are a part of the Maximum Fun Network, which is artist-owned. That's right. We're artists and supported.
if you take one thing away from the day, let it be that.
We are artists.
This podcast is just as good as a painting or photograph.
But more importantly, we're audience-supported. So we are asking over the next few weeks that you become a member of the Maximum Fun family. Just head on over to MaximumFun.org/donate. You can choose a monthly amount that's comfortable for you. A lot of people do $5 or $10 a month, and some even go as high as $20 or $35 or $100. Or there's one insane person that pledged $100,000 for a single night with me, but I said no, I shan't. This is a way that you can support the shows of the network and say that I like this. You help to make these shows happen. You're the reason that we can, like, do them as regularly as we can. And you know, just to be quite honest with you, things have been weird for you. We absolutely get that. They've been weird for us, too. We had to cancel a lot of live shows and book tours and stuff like that. The stuff that makes our business a business. And now we come to you hat in hand. We've fallen like Icarus to just begging for your scraps. So please toss some scraps our way at MaximumFun.org/donate.
That was a chill vibe. That vibe was pretty chill.
There's rewards and there's stuff you get and everything.
Yeah, you get gifts, but the gift is knowing that you're a part of the family.
Yeah, the family.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about it later on. I promise we're not going to do the usual extended chats that we usually do during the Max Fun Drive. But yes. Yeah, should we
brief chats?
A brief sort of sermon or lecture, even. Does it sound good? Juice, you want to kick us off with a little question?
Yeah. We should start with riddle me this, boys.
We can't say, hey guys, it would be cool to give us money, and then Travis is like, and here's what you get for the money, and then he throws up all over you and your hair.
Riddle me piss, boys, riddle me piss.
Okay.
The money that people donate to the Max Fun Network, and I paid a composer, Michael Giacchino, to write me a kind of like opener. I paid him $150,000 for that.
Well, that was too much money for a bad song.
Oh, damn it. Okay. Well, we've got two here.
Okay.
One's just a quick one, and another one's a real brain scratcher.
Okay.
So Hazel sent this one. Well, and let me be clear, fair to Hazel. This was not Hazel's question, mind you.
We know
Hazel
how to
found
this.
Okay. There was a huge painting in an art museum. Everyone looks at it more than the, quote, Mona Lisa, end quote.
Yet the painter, why is that? Why did it need to be? Okay.
Yet the painter is not famous. Why?
Is it the map to the museum?
A good guess, but no.
Because it's the map.
Well, I said the map.
Griffin said too.
Yeah, but I said it with confidence.
Oh, I like that. Yes. No, the answer is the huge painting was the wall. And then this is why I really enjoyed this. No one is usually famous for painting a wall.
Well, is it a if I paint my den cream eggshell off-white, and I, at the end of them, I'm like, look, what do you think of my new piece? Mm-hmm. What do you think I'm saying with this new piece?
The Sistine Chapel was originally just a sort of nice beige color all over, but then he spilled a bunch of fucking paint upwards, and it just so happened to make a pretty cool lord.
You're covering my piece. This is my piece that I did when I originally painted the roof of the Sistine Chapel.
I would also the Sistine Chapel. Well, it was the 16th one they built.
Yeah,
throughout
sure.
Time. The thing I would also argue, folks, that a lot of people have gotten famous for painting walls. Banksy, for one. Banksy's pretty well known for painting on walls.
But just he does this special.
Yeah, that is true. Banksy doesn't just like take a pan and a roller and like try out. Like, I went for kind of a lavender with this one.
Do you feel like Banksy right now is getting like halfway through something and then something else even wilder happens? He's like, well, damn it. I guess I gotta go do a Banksy about that now.
I bet the best part about being Banksy is like half the time you didn't do it, but you can be like, that was me. But you can't be like, that was me, because then that would have ruined the whole thing. Okay, we got one more here. And this
just
one.
Just one?
I know. This one is really gonna twist your noodle. What came out from one hole and goes into two holes?
Jesus. Is the answer gross? Can you tell us is the answer
The
gross?
Answer is gross. The answer is puerile.
Is it pee-pee?
Or no.
A tongue?
No. The answer is farts. And it took me a long time here to figure out what the two holes they were referring to was.
There's so many holes it goes in. You can't definitively say it goes into two holes. I'm looking around my room right now. There's like power outlets. That's three holes per outlet. Like, you can't tell me it doesn't go in there. And that's gross, and I don't want it to be in the show. But, like, there's a ceiling vent that has so many holes in it.
Wait, whenever the power goes out in my house, the electrician never comes over and is like, well, it's because so many farts went into the plugs.
It's so crazy. Just, yeah.
All and your electric pipes got clogged up with farts.
It's like my body even has more than two holes in it, and you can't tell me that it doesn't go back in a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, this sucks.
They soak into the electrical wiring. Think about Ghost Rider has to travel along those to get from room to room on a wave. Hey, do you think Ghost Rider, when a kid farted, was ever like, it was Tommy? Like, he was just like, I'm a ghost. I know exactly who did it.
I can smell the farts on my wavelength.
Or made it spell it like automatopoetically, like behind their butt. And they're like, oh, come
Barap.
On. Yeah.
Oh, don't.
Oh, man.
I was just sitting here reading my High and Lois cartoon, and you took the words out of High and Lois. So it said brap behind my buttocks.
Right behind my butt. And he could even do that even if you didn't rip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just like
Ghost Rider's whole thing.
Sometimes Ghost Rider just has beef. Just wants to embarrass you. You're like, hey, okay, I'm sorry I didn't come to your birthday party. You're a ghost.
Now can we do?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like that. I really would.
That would be nice, just to spend some time with my brothers.
I just met a cute girl. Within 5 minutes of conversation, I told her I was going to visit some friends across the state, about a 3-hour drive. She exclaims that her father opened a pizza shop in that area. She asked for my number. I'm instructed to tell her father that she sent me. I will likely receive free pizza. Do I get pizza from this girl's father, or is it too early to meet her parents? What a wild. Hey, Vicky sent me. Excuse me? Pepperoni and Vicky sent me.
Vicky sent me? Who is Vicky?
Vicky, is there an owner here? Is the owner? Can I talk to owner?
Is the dad here? Is daddy
is dad
here?
Is Vicky's dad?
I'm looking for daddy.
Who made Vicky? Who made Vicky here?
I'll have a large pepperoni and one Vicky's dad, please.
What size, shape, and organization of pie would you order when your plan to pay for it is, I know Vicky?
Yeah.
Like, you got to go small, right?
Oh, personal.
It's got to be small.
Yeah.
Pan, single topping.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a bother, but I do know Vicky. And I am trying to get with her. But right now.
Right now. Don't worry about that, Daddy. Can I call you Daddy?
Can I say hungry and confused in Ohio? There's one word in this entire question that maybe is the one mm-hmm. that trips me out the
I
most.
Know it. I know this
it
word.
It is likely.
Yes, this is the word.
Yes, the word likely
if
is
Vicky
quite
herself
dependable.
Cannot give you the yes. Vicky guarantee that this plan is going to pan out, there is
personal
no...
Personal pan out.
Personal pan out. There is no fucking way you can try and execute it.
Because there is the chance that this happens. I'll have one pizza, please. And also, Vicky sent me. Okay? I don't have any money.
Joke's on you. I don't like Vicky. That is, you will have to, that will cost you $100.
Vicky is my worst child, by far.
Because she keeps giving away free pizzas.
I am a small business owner. I've just recently opened this establishment, and everyone Vicky talks to for 5 minutes sends them 3 hours my way to get one free pizza. I'm giving away pies here because of those loose Vicky lips.
I think it's probably more likely that Vicky's trying to drum up business for her dad's pizza. Like, doesn't that make more sense? Like, my dad makes good pizza. Go see him to have the pizza.
Vicky gets 10% of everything for a referral fee. End.
Yeah.
The worst response you could get, I think, is, Vicky... Why, Vicky died 75 years ago this very night. There hasn't been a Vicky here for 75 years.
And also, to be fair, I died 80 years ago tonight.
So, do you want some ghost-a-roni on your ghost pizza? Thank you for coming to our theme. Some scaranera song?
Oh, God. The fucking Crypt Keeper. Has entered.
Ashes to ashes, crust to crust.
Here, have a little mush gloom.
And maybe a side of pineapple. I will say that if you go to this pizza store owner and drop Vicky's name and say that she said you could get some free pizza, and he says, Vicky died 75 years ago, I think you could make a pretty sound argument that you should super get the pizza now.
Yeah, it sounds like Vicky's unfinished business.
Vicky's ghost or angel came to you in a vision and told you, be not afraid, go visit my dad or grandson? I'm not entirely sure. Unclear what it is. And get this za.
So that I can finally rest.
So that I may die and pass on into oblivion. Here's a Yahoo. Can I read it? Can
yeah,
I do it?
Yeah, I love that, Griff. Thank
this
you.
This one was sent in by Graham Roebuck. Thank you, Graham. Graham crushed it this week. Really did not fake the funk. It's asked by Yahoo Answers user Felix, who asks, in food and drink, beer, wine, and spirits category. So that's like, this is one of the rare times where they actually have selected a very appropriate category. Felix asks, which years are the good wine years? I've only had ever a couple sips of wine in my life, but I always hear people who are wine experts saying stuff like, that was a good year. I want to sound like I know what I'm talking about if someone ever offers me wine, so I was wondering if anyone knows what all the good wine years are. And I am just now realizing, fam, that we did do a question last week about how to sound like you know what beer is like. So this is sort of a sequel, like a squeakquel to that, and that was unintentional. But I don't... People who, like, know a lot of different sort of, like, wines and vineyards, that in and of itself is sort of, like, remarkable. I mean, I know upwards of 300 Pokemon, so maybe it's just, like, the different way that we have prioritized spending our memory storage. Mm-hmm. But the people who can be like, ah, the Fibonacci vineyard, that was a good one. And also, in 2003, 2007, 2009, they're... Grapes were dope. Like, how do you do that? That seems like they're making shit up.
Griffin, they are. That is what it all boils down to, is like so much of that is uncheckable. If I say, a delicious, this Dreaming Tree Zinfandel from the vineyards of Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
Delicious, 1998. What a good year. What are you going to do? Google, was 1998 a good year for Dave Matthews Zinfandel wine?
What year did Dave Matthews make the best wine? What year did Dave Matthews make the best wine?
Right, but like, Google that right now, Griffin, and watch your computer explode.
Well, just I got what year did Dave, opinions. And it filled in what year did Dave Thomas die, and I got sad. I stopped filling
I'm
in.
Saying there is no, like, even then, if someone was like, well, that wasn't a good year, and you're like, it was for this bottle. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Good, you got me.
What you can fake is the good years differ by region. So if you're like, is it 2012? Oh, that sounds very good. They'll be like, no, it's not good. You're like, oh, I didn't. Is that Napa? My mistake.
Yeah.
Sorry, I tend to stay in Tuscany. If you want me to take a sojourn stateside, I suppose I could sell you my palate.
You could also just go safe and just always say, like, that was an average year for wine.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was fine.
That was not my not my favorite year for wine.
But not the worst.
If someone brings out a 69, you can say, oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then if they're like, actually, it's pretty bad, you can say, oh, no, I was actually remarking on the fact that you said 69. I was just trying to support you because you said 69.
That also works if someone brings out a wine from the year 420. Then you can be like, ah.
What a dank blend.
I can't wait to drink that and die.
Mm. I mean,
the tannins.
Would you? Would it be?
Die?
Would it probably wouldn't be very good.
No. It's corked. That's corked for sure.
This one's corked.
This is corked.
That one's going to need to be decanted. It's got it's got ancient viral streams.
Then recant it.
Okay, they hand you the bottle.
Uh-huh.
You look at the year. You say, ugh, you waited too long. This is vinegar now. And then you upend the bottle and dump it on the ground. And then no one can check if you're right or not. They're just going to assume that you knew what you're doing.
Just chuck the unopened bottle through the nearest plate glass window. And when they're like, you broke my home, you say, no, you broke my evening with this vinegar wine.
With this vinegar
wine. You brought vinegar to our home. I have another idea. This is very good. You get the bottle. You inspect the year. You say, 2001, a delightful vintage. May I savor it?
and then you just
smash it to pieces. Repeat until only beer is left. Repeat until there are only boxes left, and then everybody could agree on the quality of those.
Justin, if I may, another suggestion. They hand it to you, say, 2001, an excellent christening wine. And then you, like, smash it on the nearest ship or a vessel or whatever, what have you.
That's good. You could also just say, like, what year is this from? 2009, a fantastic year. And they'll be like, actually, it was a bad year for this vineyard. And you would say, I meant generally speaking.
For me.
I had a fucking avatar. Kick-ass, dude. Loved it.
Did you see Avatar? I had a great make-out sesh with someone I had a crush on. It was a fine year.
My pubes finally blossomed. It was excellent. An excellent year. Family Guy, terrific season.
Speaking of years, it's this time of year. Well, actually, it's not. Damn it.
It's not even this time of year, is it?
No, it's Max Fun Drive. And there's some amazing gifts I want to tell you about. And let me tell you.
Can I give them the URL first in case they're like,
please.
You don't need to convince me. It's maximumfund.org/donate. Please just beat Travis to the punch and just go there right now.
Yeah.
If you donate right now, then you can always know you did it with a purity of spirit. If you wait until my brother tells you the gifts, then you're going to have to always carry around that question. Why did I do it?
Did I do it for the things or for the love, you know?
So true.
So. It's the first one. Right off the bat, the best one as far as I'm concerned. For $5 a month, $5 gets you exclusive members-only bonus content. And not just from this year. From every Max Fun Drive, every piece of bonus content up till now. It's like over 200 hours of bonus content. And there's some really incredible stuff in there. And I'm not just saying it. One of the ones I'm most excited about is... on the Adventure Zone, we played D&D, me, Justin, Griffin, and Dad, with Matt Mercer DMing, with like all new characters, all new story, all of Matt's creation. It was so much fun. And I think it's one of the few times, aside from, I think, Dadlands, where the four of us got to, like, actually all play together.
Yeah.
It was an absolute blast. Check that out. There's a ton of stuff there. For $10 a month, you get the bonus content. Plus, you get a enamel pin. It's a Max Fun Drive exclusive enamel pin, and there's one for each show. This has been a hit every year. They're absolutely gorgeous. They're designed by Megan Lynn Cott, and they're gorgeous. If you've ever seen a cool Max Fun pin, it's probably one of the Drive pins. And you get to pick whichever one you want, and you get a membership card. So for $20, you get the pin, you get the membership card, you get the over 200 hours of bonus content, and you get a Max Fun game pack that includes Max Fun inspired playing cards and all kinds of cool stuff, dice bag. And then for $35, you get the Max Fun game kit, you get the pin, the membership card, all the bonus content, and a Rocket Camp mug, which is frankly my favorite kind of mug, those kind of enamel-y ones, you know, with the speckles. Makes you look really cool. And there's more, but you can go check those out. One more time, Justin, give them that URL.
It's MaximumFun.org/join.
Also, we fully realize it's not a great time to be asking for money because there's lots of very worthy causes to be giving to. And we also know that a lot of people are not in a financial position to become Max Fun members. And we fully understand that. We're just asking that if you are in a position to invest in this show, in this network, in this community, we really appreciate you sort of supporting our ability to continue to make these shows. Which, you know, now that we aren't touring or doing anything else, like that's where we're earning our living right now. So, go to MaximumFun.org/join, look at all the different ways you can give. We really, really appreciate you. And, should we do something else?
Yeah.
Yes. Sure.
My wife and I recently moved into our first home together.
My wife. Man, I feel bad. I mean, like, I just asked people to consider becoming Max Fun members, and then
you know what?
You know what? Here's my solemn pledge: no more. My wife.
I will become a recurring $100 a month member of our own network if you stick to that promise.
No more my wife's. Okay. 2020. I can't promise for 2021.
In 5 months, you're back to back on your bullshit. Okay.
My wife and I. Wow, Trev, good job. Really good.
Thank you.
And I recently moved into our first home together. Upon removing a ceiling tile in the basement, an entire stack of the previous owner's porno VHS and DVDs fell out of the ceiling and onto the floor. What do we do? Do we reach out to the previous owner to see if they want them back? That's from Surprised in Milwaukee. Well, not that one. You've identified the worst possible solution.
That you shouldn't do, and it's good. Weed that out, because that's going to help us.
Hey, is this Doug? You used to live at 1235 House Street? Cool. I got all your dirty skin flicks. You want me to just drop them off, like, loose in a pile on your front lawn, or what?
I could arrange them into a fun shape like a butt on your lawn.
You do? Huh.
Really? You do want that?
Okay.
You need that? Goodbye, sir.
You were waiting for me to find them.
That's how you get your kicks?
Oh, my goodness gracious. You still live in the house? I just haven't seen you. Oh, no.
So
you're controlling my four-year-old. You're possessing my four-year-old. It's the worst.
That got weird.
Got so weird. I didn't even see that coming.
Yeah,
you can't reach out to this person.
No.
I would never shame anyone for sexual gratification, personal sexual gratification. But I do have to question. Boy, time to have some good masturbating time. I better go get the stepladder so I can get my adult films.
I have to place this gem into this divot in this stack and wait for the sun to shine in through the basement window at exactly 12 p.m.
I need to contact my brothers to get them to bring their safety deposit box keys down to the bank with me.
To the
we can unlock the drawer and I can
get... So where do you keep... Where do you keep your porno?
The shrine of the silver monkey.
That is a wild.
The temple guard comes out like, again, man? Like, it's three times today.
It's weird to think that you're so embarrassed of your pornography that you hide it in your literal ceiling, but not so embarrassed that you mind people thinking you use a stepladder four times a day.
Right.
Just scooting it back and forth.
What exactly has happened here is they hit it so good that they forgot.
They forgot.
And you know, and you know what? In many ways, they clearly have moved on with their lives because, like, they would, if they were needing that on a regular basis, they probably would have noticed by now, right? Like, it's not like they misplaced.
Well, Trav, bud, here's a fact from me to you. They guarantee they noticed 15 minutes after they left the house, but there is no remedy for this situation from their perspective, right?
That is fair. They can't be like, you know, I think I forgot some stuff. I just need to get into the basement and into the ceiling of the basement, please.
I mean, another possibility here, this is it's funny. I learned while doing Wonderful last week about votive hoards, which are treasure hoards that people would create. And the idea behind a votive hoard is that it is not intended to be recovered by that person. It is a purposeful abandonment of those items, usually for sort of ritual practices. Maybe that's what it is. They have all these porno tapes and DVDs, and they hovered them over the garbage can.
And tintypes.
And tintypes, yes, and kinetoscopes or whatever. And they had an old Nickelodeon that you could...
This is like sexiest wax cylinder.
Yes. And they held them over the garbage can. They just thought, friends, we've had so many great times cranking to you, and... I can't throw you in the garbage, but I can't put you in the river.
What if fish see you?
What if fish see you and get horny for people? I don't know how that would even work. Garbage volcano is a super good idea, but hasn't been invented yet. So I guess I got to put you in the ceiling of the basement forever.
It's my favorite scene in The Incredible Mr. Limpet when he's like, oh, yeah, skin flicks.
Oh, boy.
Somebody dumped a big bag of porno.
Do you guys ever think about pirates?
The Incredible Mr. Limpet?
Yeah, we
judge by the content of this show constantly.
Yes. But pirates, do you think, like, when they bury their gold and then, like, 2 days later they're at the store and they're like, fuck, I do want to buy the shit.
Oh, no.
Everybody back on the boat.
And I guess the bigger question is if Mr. Incredible Mr. Limpet does see human pornography, if it becomes the Incredible Mr. Stiffit. And that's a funny joke. And folks, that's a funny one.
That's one you can take out on the road. Take that one out on tour.
You really spin the wheels on that one. Give it some time to breathe.
Everyone's going to enjoy that one.
Let it aerate a bit. Hey, let's do a quick dip, a quick splash in the soothing waters of the Money Zone.
During these quarantine times, it can be tough to add a little variety to your life. Let me recommend DoorDash. It's an app you get on your phone, and then you look for the kind of cuisine that you'd like to eat. All local places, and you order what you want, and they bring it to you. It's just as easy as that. And maybe there's a new place open up, and you're like, hey, they're on DoorDash. I'm going to give them a try. Mm. That's a great way to try new food, add a little variety, something new to talk about. Food you're craving right now, right to your door. I have been using DoorDash, not an exaggeration, at least four times a week, maybe five, maybe more, a lot to keep my family fed like some sort of brave hunter-gatherer in these times. And it is such a smooth service. So rarely are there hiccups, and when there are, they are so quick and responsive to fix any problems that you have. It's a wonderful service. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more and zero delivery fees for the first month when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BROTHER. That's $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees for a month when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BROTHER. Don't forget, that's code BROTHER for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Look around you. One thing is missing. It's a website. You do not have one, and you need one, because it's 2020, and everything else is on fire, but the internet, surprisingly, still going strong. You can use Squarespace to build your own website today to showcase your work, sell products and services of all kinds, promote your physical or online business, and more. Whatever the mind can conceive, Squarespace can build it into a website, my friends. Squarespace gives you beautiful, customizable templates created by world-class designers, everything optimized for mobile right out the box. Analytics that help you grow in real time, free and secure hosting, and nothing to patch or upgrade ever. Go to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Stamps. Gotta get them. You need them, but you gotta stay away from crowds because of virus. But what if you need to go to the post office? What if you need postage to send out letters and packages? Well, don't be a real silly goose, because Stamps.com is here to help. They bring all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your home or your office or wherever you're posted up right now. You can use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7, any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail's ready, you just leave it for your mail carrier, or you schedule a free package pickup, or you drop it in a freaking mailbox, and you don't have to touch anyone, anywhere. It's that simple. With Stamps.com, you get great discounts, too. You get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 62% off shipping rates. Right now, our listeners can get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, okay? Ooh. Without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in "my brother," all one word. That's stamps.com. Enter "my brother." Stay safe, my friends!
I started listening to Ono, Ross, and Carrie shortly after I broke my arm, and the doctor had told me I'd never walk again.
I couldn't get my book started.
I was lost, honestly.
I knew it was time to make a change.
There's something about Oh No, Ross and Carrie that you just can't get anywhere else.
They're thought leaders, discoverers, founders.
I'd call them heroes.
Ross and Carrie don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal. They take part themselves.
They show up so you don't have to.
But you might find that you want to.
My arm is better. I can walk again.
I wrote an entire book this weekend. It's terrible, but I did it.
Just go to MaximumFun.org.
Thank you, Ross and Carrie.
Ono, Ross and Carrie is just a podcast. It doesn't do anything. It's just sounds you listen to in your ears. All these people are made up. Goodbye.
Really crank it. Go.
Okay.
Da, da, losing ba, me. Ba, 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 I want a munch.
Squaw.
I want to munch.
Squaw.
That felt cathartic for all three of us.
Yeah.
Like we're all really working some shit out in that Munch Squad intro.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast that features the latest and greatest in brand eating. I am very hungry, which I hate doing during the Munch Squad because it makes me feel like I want to eat the things we talk about.
Yeah.
Which is a very dangerous place to be in. I want to thank Nathaniel, because we got a Munch Squad retro. We're going to hop in the DeLorean, if you will, and drive all the way back to 2001.
A great year for wine.
A great year for wine, 2001, March 20th. Those halcyon days of the beginning of the millennium. Taco Bell is offering a free taco to everyone in the United States if the core of the Mir space station hits a floating Taco Bell target placed in the South Pacific.
What?
Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Is offering a free taco, you're with me so far, to everyone in the U.S. if the core of the Mir space station hits a floating Taco Bell target placed in the South Pacific.
Huh. Was that, okay. I guess the context that I'm missing here is, was that something good?
Was did they the like core that that happened?
Like, did people want the core of the, or was this like a conciliatory, like, listen, we'll all be bummed out if the core of the Mir space station falls. But on the upside, if it hits the Taco Bell target, Free tacos.
There are 80 brave astronauts serving aboard the Mir space station right now, and that sucks. We hate what's about to happen to them. But
on the other hand, I think it was a planned fall. But that does raise a question before I get further in Presley's. The question that I have is, if we didn't know it was going to land on this Taco Bell target, does that mean we didn't know where it was going to land?
I think that's exactly it, J-Man.
I mean, that is either option is wild. Either Taco Bell knew exactly where the Mir space station was going to land and build a taco target there, or that no one knew and Taco Bell's like, well, if we aren't all eradicated.
Yeah.
If fucking Delaware isn't blown off the map, the good news will be free tacos for everyone.
All remaining states get a taco party.
It encompasses all of human experience, right? At one end of the scale, the Mir satellite crashes into Las Cruces and wipes out millions. On the other end of the scale, hey, free tacos.
Yeah. Do they clarify somewhere in the press release how big the target is?
Yes, I'm going Thank to move God. On to the literally the second paragraph of this wild, wild press release. Later this week, all eyes will be fixed on the sky in anticipation of the 150-ton space station's return to Earth. Taco Bell has created a 40-by-40-foot target.
Oh, that seems fucking fair. The Pacific Ocean's only 63 million square miles, so that seems about fair.
It's a 40-by-40-foot target painted with a Bell bullseye and bold purple letters stating free taco here.
Thank God, so the core can see it.
Yes, you see it.
Huh, what's that? I'm going to crash into that.
I've been in space for decades, but I still love humans enough to give them free tacos. I care about this. The floating target will be placed in the South Pacific Ocean off the coast of Australia in advance of Mir's descent. Taco Bell is capturing the imagination of millions of people as they eagerly await Mir's return to Earth, said Chris Becker, a fucking optimist if I've ever seen one, and also the vice president of brand communications. If Mir rings our bell, we'll offer a free taco to everyone in the U.S.
It should be noted that the NASA is asking us not to do this.
Don't do this.
If they have said, quote, if the core impacts anything, it could start a nuclear winter. But hey, we think it's worth it.
They're also embarrassed that their bad spaceship broke and they don't want people to pay attention to that.
Oh, my God. If Mir rings our bell, we'll offer free taco to everyone in the U.S. First off, you know that it's a good statement if half of your quote is just repeating the thing that we all understand.
Yeah.
Chris Becker then continues, if the core of Mir hits the designated Taco Bell target upon its reentry, every person in the United States will have an opportunity to obtain a coupon for a free taco valid at participating Taco Bell restaurants. By the way, if you're a Taco Bell franchise and you say, I'm not doing that dumb space satellite promotion, you don't deserve the name Taco Bell. You should be stripped of your badge. You don't get the spirit of the brand. Coupon distribution, redemption, and offer details will be made available to consumers on the Taco Bell website and in press materials should this event occur. So there's no fucking way. I guarantee they did not even have a contingency for if this actually occurred.
Yeah.
These websites were not drawn up.
Holy shit, though. If only they had been. I imagine they would be some Space Jam GeoCities level internet events.
The good news is that Taco Bell has purchased an insurance policy to cover the anticipated cost of the free taco redemption should the core of Mir hit the target. You know, it's funny. I now know, because of the benefit of hindsight, what the next 20 years had in store for all of us.
Yeah.
And I can think of many better insurance policies Taco Bell could have taken out than insurance policy if the Mir space satellite hits our dumb ocean target.
So just to be clear, They went, man, 2001 was really a different time, huh? They walked into an office somewhere and said, we are voluntarily offering a promotion that could cost us millions of dollars, and we need you to cover that in case that happens. And someone said, you've got it. Sounds great.
The fucking fix was in from the start. And I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but like, I know that whoever was controlling Mir got a little text from you know, Mr. Taco Bell and was like, hey, we need you to aim pretty far afield from this target because we will be fucking ruined if this smacks it. We will be in so much trouble and there will be no more tacos and it'll be on your hands.
I want you guys to know I am now Googling, did Mir Space Station hit the Taco Bell target?
Justin, tell him quick.
I mean, I have no idea, but no.
But almost certainly not.
It did miss. But it did, it says it missed by 6 inches. Oh, man.
No, it probably missed by a million bajillion miles.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it didn't say how much it missed by, but I wanted to make it seem interesting.
Oh, it was so close.
It was so close, you guys. That, like a bird, a seagull landed on it and scooted it just out of the way.
Oh, no. A big piece was heading right for it, and a big bird flew in the way and got exploded, and it made the shrapnel disappear. Yeah, damn it. But
luckily, Sully got him back.
Sully fixed it.
Sully was so pissed that those birds took away our free tacos. He took those birds out. Good work, Sully.
Sorry, I need just a second. Can you guys give me just a second to run some quick math?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Just give me a second to run some math.
I'll put some cool like math sound effects on here.
Yeah. If you would just let me run some math.
I'll just like play a clip from Swordfish.
Yeah. Maybe some like a ticker, like you're hitting keys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just be quiet.
Oh, you're doing it in your head.
No. I mean,
why do I need to be quiet?
No, I mean, you don't need to be quiet. I'm just like, I'm trying to get a fix on something. Okay, so right. Okay, so the Okay, now I understand. So, the target was placed in the South Pacific Ocean, right? And I'm looking at a follow-up here. The QSR chain set up a floating target carrying the company logo and the phrase, Free Tacos Here, about 10 miles off the coast of Australia.
Huh. Okay.
But Mir landed off course near Chile.
That sucks. Huh.
Oh, wow.
That sucks. Fucking look at a map right now. It fucking sucks. Either, okay, there's two possible scenarios. Either Taco Bell is an incredibly unscrupulous company, right. Or we all came fucking super duper duper close to a very unchill day. It's like half the planet.
It's half the planet away. It's a hemisphere.
It's like half a planet away. You fucked up so bad, Mir.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Oh. It's like way far away.
It's pretty far away.
I mean, okay, can I say this? Even in the grand scheme of things, Taco Bell, 10 miles off the coast of Australia, you were kind of betting against Australia there, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's not like you went dead center of the ocean or anything.
No,
you were like, I don't know, strong breeze, and we lose Brisbane. You know, like
yeah, the promotion says we'll give a free taco to everybody in America, and sure, Australia too. Why not? That's not gonna cost us anything.
Fuck,
10 miles,
it's so close.
That's such a great point. The real victory there would not be free tacos for America. It would be the continued existence of Australia.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of like in a comet's going to hit the Earth and like it just barely misses Earth because at the last minute Bruce Willis set off the bomb. That's what we're looking at. That's that kind of scrape.
And I feel
that
bad
Australia.
For,
Australia was probably like, "Oh, thank God, you guys don't get tacos."
I feel bad for the family in Chile, whose, you know, little 5-year-old son was like, "Papa, I'm scared that the Mir space station's going to crash on us," and the dad has to say, "Like, oh, don't worry, Taco Bell put the target a whole hemisphere away. We do. We have nothing to worry about."
The Taco Bell scientists have spent years.
The Taco Bell mathematicians have done their work on this, and they've done a great job, son. You have nothing to worry about.
No problem
no
at all.
No issues here. Hey, can I do a Yahoo?
Sure. Yeah, I love that.
This one's a trip. It was sent in by by Graham Robach. Thank you. It's a Yahoo Answers user, Sean, who asks, how to get back at my jerk coworker.
Yeah.
Familiar premise. Every time we are in Zoom meetings, so this is the during times, and I start waxing philosophical about our business. Oh, we sell tires, by the way. He refuses to engage and just says something sarcastic like, okay, Plato, and everyone laughs. Just laughs. Their ugly yellow teeth showing like the rotten top of an old fence.
Oh, boy.
I try to insist that what I was saying had some value, and then my boss tries to placate me, right? He says, oh, you know we love you, Sean. And he tries to move on. But I sit there and seethe every single time watching these robots rattle off facts and figures. I feel like I never have the perfect retort. No matter how much I try to write it out beforehand, it's never ready for prime time. Does anybody have a good one I can use? Drop your Venmo and I'll pay you for it.
Wow.
So
that's generous.
I do like to picture this scene of someone who's just dunked on Sean real hard and you just hear, all right, well, what have I got here? Back and same on you, pal. Pretty good. $5 there. Sean sounds like a real cool dude to work
Sean
with.
Sean sounds like a real like a piece peach. Of work. But I mean, every tire store's got one. You know what
that
I mean?
Old that old chestnut.
And I get it. Like, they sell tires, but that doesn't mean they have to just sell tires.
No, if you think about it, the way that the wheel turns is kind of like the way that time is a flat circle. And when we sell a family a tire, what we're really doing is giving them security that their car won't just like scrape along the road and make a terrible noise and like sparks and stuff, you know?
Sparks and a stinky car smell of the
rubber.
And
the stinky car smell, and that's really what it's all about, you know?
Okay,
so it's like,
okay, Plato. Is it
that,
okay? Okay, okay, Plato's pretty choice. And I don't know, if I was ever working at a job and tried to stick up for myself and my boss said, oh, you know, we love you, Griffin, I would probably have to leave that particular job.
Because that falls under the category of things that someone says when you know that they mean the exact opposite of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one has ever had to say to someone, you know, we love you, and had the other person go, yes, I do know that you do.
God, it would drive me wild, though, sitting in one of these meetings when somebody's like, these tires, we should sell them for $50. Oh, snooze. You know
robots.
What I mean? Like, why, though, are we even still selling tires?
Is it possible that Sean works with actual robots, like the robots that take tires off of cars and put new ones on? I see him in the Ford commercials sometimes making sparks and everything. What if Sean works with those and he makes a joke and they're like, okay, Plato. He's like, God damn it.
They literally cannot understand the concept of the platonic ideal of a wheel.
Yeah, he has been trying to, like, not just, they understand the mechanics of tires.
Right.
He's trying to elevate them to a new level of understanding the spirituality of it. But they're robots, you know, they have a hard time dealing with those kind of ethereal concepts. And so because they're embarrassed by their inability to grasp these concepts, they have to put him down.
Right. Like they're robots. They know about the allegory of the cave, but they can't possibly conceive of how it relates to selling these incredible Firestone tires.
Exactly.
It would be hard to get a leg up on them because, like, they would just search the cloud. I'm searching the cloud for the best way to tear you down. 1 second. Processing. Here's a picture of your ex-girlfriend.
Oh,
you got me. That was very painful.
But also very good. You got... I'm going to...
You did get me.
I had to Venmo a stranger. You send the Venmo for a great bird, and then one of the robots dings. That was me. I created that. You just bought one of my insults.
This question's hot off the presses. This is from 2 days ago, and a commenter responded, ignore him and sell more tires than he does. Fucking great. Kind of that's ironclad, but Sean responded pretty much right away. Yeah, I thought about that, but then he'll say something like, nice sales, Loman. So now we do know this gentleman's entire name.
No, hold on. Noman is about
No, Griffin, it's worse. This person just made a hilarious death of a salesman. Oh,
about themselves, too. Hey, Sean sounds like a real treat to work with, huh?
He'll say something like, nice sales, Loman, and then he'll have the place in stitches. That bastard always wins.
If you can drop an Arthur Miller reference and make him bust up your whole office, that's a cool place to work, and Sean's the problem.
Yeah. Hold on. There's no doubt in anyone's mind Sean's the problem here, yes?
No, we can all agree.
Okay.
We all feel pretty confident that Sean's the problem.
Good sales, Logan.
Good sales.
Can you imagine?
Way to do your job, idiot.
What a weird, ironic insult of like, but I did sell a lot of tires. I was successful at my job. I'm employee of the month. Yeah, good work, Loman. No, but...
Yeah, nice.
No, but he's... The whole thing is his experience is that he no longer sees himself as useful in the world, and he is no longer an effective salesman.
Yeah, whatever.
Arthur Miller. No, but Arthur Miller did right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, they would ditch this zero, but he does lay the huge eggs that the tires come out of.
Yep.
And it's just the clearance that they get on those is just out of this world.
Yep.
Out of his huge ass. Hey, can I tell you something real quick? Ass. Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, Griffin, tell me more about the eggs that come out of this human man.
He's got a big butt, and the eggs come out of him, and then when they hatch, that's where they get the tires that they sell. So it's just pure profit. It's pure profit.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No one else lays the tire eggs.
No, that's true.
So they have to keep Sean around.
Another thing about Max Fun Drive this year that I want to tell you all about. If you are already a member and you have maybe a friend or a loved one or a family member or something who would love all that bonus content, love all those gifts, but they are not able to become a member, this year you can also gift donations to them. We're just so grateful to everybody who has supported us and everybody who not just gives financially, but listens to the shows, tells their friends about it. Everything, like seeing people tweet about how much episodes mean to them or that something cracked them up, like knowing that we are able to make people smile from time to time during really, really scary times, that means a lot to us. And knowing that it matters enough that, you know, if you can, you make the decision to support our shows means a lot to us. So thank you to everybody. And thank you just for listening. So if you are not a member, or if you want to boost your membership, or if you want to give a membership to somebody else, you can go to MaximumFun.org/join and check out all the information there.
When someone boosts their donation, can we call it hitting the NOS?
I think that's probably okay.
Punch the NOS on your donation.
And punch the NOS on your MP3 player as you listen to It's a Departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed by the Long Winters, who've graciously allowed us to use the song. Thank you. And not going to thank Max Fun again. They've gotten their... their fill.
Their pound of flesh.
We have a new graphic novel out this week? Is it this week?
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, anyway, go to theadventurezonecomic.com. It's real good.
Oh, speaking of, we're doing a book event for the Adventure Zone Comic on the 17th. It's going to be on our YouTube channel. We'll tweet all the updates and stuff on the McRoy family Twitter account. But it's going to be really fun. It's going to be
a hoot.
Great.
So y'all want the final? Oh yeah. Final Yahoo. This one was sent in by Hat Trick. Graham Roebuck crushed it. Thank you, Graham. It's Yahoo Answers user Josh who asks, how do I get pickle smell off body quick? I'm going to read the next. My mom can't know I've been eating her pickles. She gets off work soon and she's going to smell them unless I get it off. Tried shower, still stinks. Update. She knows.
My name is Justin McElroy.
Travis.
That's Travis.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.